Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
This is a public announcement. Vectis Radio has been hijacked. You are now listening to the 4P's Takeover. Normal service will be resumed in due course.
Welcome to the Moving Up Show. JC, what are you talking about on Strictly Sequence?
Today I am going to tell you who is top and bottom of the leaderboard.
That sounds good. Josh, what foodie delights do you have for us today?
I'm making fruit stone.
Oh, good. Okay, let's get started.
Here's Josie with this week's Strictly Sequins. What are you going to tell us about this week?
I'm going to talk about not only who score high and who score low, but who was the best dance I found interested.
So who's the couple that you want to talk about this week?
Well, here are Charles and Karen. Each week when they first came to Strictly, they've been scoring 25 points about 4 weeks' time. But in week 5, they score 36 points, and then week 6, 25 again, but this time in the 7th one, 28 points.
So they've sort of been quite middle scorers, but then in that week 5, when they scored 36, what made the difference? Well, how come they got such a high score there, do you think?
Let's see, it was a street dance, and the judges say so strong, major breakthrough and jamming.
Oh, wow, so that was a hit, that one. And so this week they scored 28. And what dance were they dancing?
It was called waltz.
A waltz. Oh, that's lovely. Okay. So they're a couple who have been quite unlucky, really, haven't they?
What do you mean by that?
I mean that they've been in the dance-off several times, haven't they?
Oh, yes, they have.
And even though they seem to be really good dancers, they seem to keep turning up in the dance-off, but then they keep in the programme. They haven't been voted off.
No, but maybe this week they might, sooner or later.
Oh, let's hope not. So this week they were actually in the dance-off with who?
Dr. Raj and Jeanette.
Okay, and what dance did they do?
Samba.
Samba. And we've already said that Charles and Karen did the waltz. So who were the unlucky couple that left the show?
Dr. Raj and Jeanette.
That was sad.
I know. It's not their fault. When I first saw Samba, it was nothing like Samba. To me, it was a mix-up between balls and other kinds of things.
Wow, so it wasn't really the normal fast Samba that you might expect.
No.
Who was the top of the leaderboard this week then, Josie?
Ashley and Pasha. This week they did Foxtrot and they scored 39 points.
And I expect that Faye and Giovanni were not far behind, am I right?
That's right, they scored 38.
And what dance did they do? I think it was a tango, wasn't it?
It was a tango.
Yeah, okay. So come back next week and tell us more about Strictly.
I will. This has been Josie with Strictly Sequins.
This is Jack. Today, I have Josh with me to talk about this week's recipes.
They are making fruit scones.
So what's the ingredients you need?
You'll need 200 grams of flour, plain or self-raising, a quarter level teaspoon of salt, 3 level teaspoon baking powder, or leave it out if you're using self-raising flour, 25 grams of butter, and 125 millilitres of milk. You also need 500 grams of sultanas or currants. You need to mix the flour and salt and baking powder if you're using plain flour. Using fingers, rub the butter into the mixture till it looks like breadcrumbs and grease a baking sheet. Add sultanas or currants. Make a well in the mixture and gradually add the milk, mixing with a palette knife and form soft dough. Turn out onto a floured surface and knead lightly. Form it into a flat round about 2 centimeters thick. Using the cutter, cut the dough into a small rounds and place them on a baking sheet. Brush the scones with milk, bake in the oven at 220 degrees C for 8 to 10 minutes, cool on a wire rack. You've been listening to Josh's Recipe of the Week.
So today I'm going to be talking about GTA, also Grand Theft Auto 5, but the campaign this week.
Now, the single player of GTA 5, the storyline you start off with, you obviously get three characters, Michael, Trevor, and
Franklin.
Franklin, yeah. As you start, you've got three different backgrounds, haven't you?
Yeah,
you've got
gangster life of Franklin, the way he used to hijack cars and the way that he wants to become.
You got Michael, who's the rich guy, who's a successful bank robber. And then you got Trevor, who's more of a, you know, American outback. He lived in trailers, you know. So you got three different characters here completely.
Exactly, but then you got Michael and Trevor's story. That's a bit what's confusing people lately, because the way he's a good friend of Michael's, because of Michael and what he did, he shot his best friend. And now Trevor's found him all about. So it's really easy for them a lot. But then you got Franklin. He started off hijacking cars, he hijacked Michael's car, and it worked perfectly fine. But I think Rockstar could have made the storylines a bit longer.
Yeah, that's with a lot of games these days, so it almost feels rushed through. You know, there could have been some extra missions here and there, there could have been some better cutscenes, you know, stuff like that. And it doesn't affect how good the game is. I will not lie, GTA 5 has been the best and most successful GTA, and it's one I've most enjoyed.
Definitely, so I would play it again, but there are certain things that I love about the campaign, there's certain things I don't like. Like, I love the new weaponry that's better than the old ones. The free character thing, that's so much better. But then on, like, say, like, I'm doing Gay Tony and Nico Bellixi, I don't like that one, but I prefer this one because you've got more stuff to do. And even when there's like one or two storylines and it just makes drags on this one, it's free, but it's long, not sort of longer, but it's annoying.
I think they put more work into story this time. That's one thing I will say, with like the background of how Trevor and Michael know each other. So it's something that, like any game, can be improved on. Do you think it's a huge task to improve on it, or do you think it's almost there?
It's almost there, but then like it's annoying in certain ways because the campaign is just so sections are short, but they're short but they're decent. That makes any sense to anyone?
Yeah, I mean it's just that they've got a good storyline, but I thought it was a bit rushed through. Other from that, I think GTA 5 campaign was amazing, and so the missions were fun. Like anything, as a customer, you always want more, and at the end of the day, I think me and you are satisfied with it.
Exactly, like bringing the old character back in on Trevor's one, that made me go, oh my god, that's the best bit about it. But then they could have extended that bit, maybe that guy in a bit longer.
Me and Chaz this week have decided that we both like the campaign, but like anyone, we always want more. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you for part two online, so don't miss out.
Between the crosses, roll on roll, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks do bravely singing fly, scars heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago. We lived, felt, dawn, saw, sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from falling hands, we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep through poppies grow in Flanders Field. A poem by John McRae, who was a Canadian doctor in the First World War.
As this is Remembrance Sunday and the 100th anniversary of the First World War, we are going to be discussing what we know about these historical events. Josh, what have you got for us?
John, who works here, was in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. He told me that there were lots of other conflicts apart from the First and Second World War. He was involved in conflicts in Singapore in the late 60s, part of the Vietnam War. He also was in Libya in the 1970s when Gaddafi came to power. At the height of the Cold War in the 70s, he was in Berlin and he was also served in Northern Ireland. We shouldn't forget people involved in these and more recent conflicts.
My granddad served in the Second World War. His name was Tom Shaw. Jack, what have you found out?
Well, I found out that this year to mark the 100 years since the First World War, there's a 6 metre high poppy installation in Greenwich, London, with threads featuring messages from the First World War generation stretched out from a central point. The installation is to aim how the First World War is woven through the fabric of the nation. So, what do you know?
Some of Mexico supply poppies to their buses a week early to commemorate the war and those who serve and currently serve. And for the first time in years, they are pulling over to observe the full 2 minute silence out of respect and offering free travel for armed personnel serve.
The poppy appeal was founded in 1921, and the poppy was chosen as they were the flowers that grew over the battlefields after the First World War. They're worn as a symbol of remembrance and hope. They are red because of the natural colour of the field. Some poppy people wear white to remember victims of all wars or recognitions of nationality. Purple poppies paid by tribute to all of the animals who have died in the war, convinced over the years. Money has raised for the poppies appeal is used to help the war veterans.
Well, that was a good show. This is the Moving Up show, part of the 4P's project on Vectis Radio and Irvine College. You can listen to us on 104.6 FM and online.